Welcome to the February 13th, 2003 House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources. Welcome to you all. We have two bills to hear today, House Bill 2209 and House Bill 2241. Just to let you know, members, House Bill 2209 will have most likely some amendments. We're hoping that they'll be back to us here around 2:30. So we may hear the bill to begin with and then hear our other bill, and if we still are waiting, we may choose to just take a short recess and then come back in once we get the amendment and move forward at that time. So the chair would also, as you know I always do at the beginning of my meetings, make the statement that if you are signing in on the witness registration sheet, to pay particular attention to the paragraph in the shaded box which says, or actually above the shaded box, which says that by signing this you acknowledge, you've read and understand that as a public official or a lobbyist, as defined in certain ORSs, you're prohibited from making any false statements or misrepresentation in any legislative proceedings and prohibited from submitting any false materials. Those of you, are anybody from the public here? Oh, yes, very good. This does not apply to you, ma'am. However, it is important to note that we don't want you to lie. So.
Sorry, it does apply.
It does, okay. I see. That's right. If you are a government official, and that means a public agency or a lobbyist, you are covered under this. And having said that, again, I want to welcome you. And we are going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2209. Ray, you want to tell us what this bill is about?
Yes, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2209, which was before us on the 27th or 28th of January, allows the State Department of Fish and Wildlife to utilize aircraft in conducting wildlife management activities or in protecting human safety. And, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, as we speak, Council is drafting an amendment to House Bill 2209 that I have been told by various players was a group consensus, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Ray. Well, to start off, the chair would like to call Ron Anglin from ODF&W. If you'd come forward, Ron. Next on deck will be Martin Taylor. And then after that, we'll have Al Elkins. Welcome, Ron. Good to see you, and for the record.
Good afternoon, Chair Krupp, members of the committee. For the record, Ron Anglin, Wildlife Division Administrator, ODFW. The bill that you have in front of you today was submitted by the department, as we found out this last winter when we needed to conduct a potential disease survey for tuberculosis in Central Oregon, that we did not have the statutory authority that we originally felt that we had to use helicopters or other aircraft in order to enable us to collect animals from the air, or even to call to staff that were on the ground that would allow us to collect animals from the air. So the bill that we've drafted here and the amendments that you will be seeing are designed to give us the ability under the four types of situations that are in front of you on our bill statement that would allow us to go ahead and take wildlife if needed. Now, our primary concern is the potential for diseased wildlife and the ability to quickly and effectively remove those animals if they constitute a threat to other wildlife and in some certain circumstances even to livestock, which was certainly the case this last winter where we thought we had some TB that potentially could have been passed on to wild elk, and then the interaction potentially with livestock and other elk and deer in the area could have led to a pretty catastrophic type event. So this is our attempt to try and give us the specific authority that would allow us to conduct those activities if needed. That concludes my testimony, Chair Krupp.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. Members, questions? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Englund, I'm sure this is wildlife. It has nothing to do with private property.
That's correct, Chair Krupp and Representative Nelson. It's only the department and our ability for wildlife management. Any collection that we were to do on private property could only occur with the permission of the private landowner. We have no ability to trespass as an agency without permission. And in fact, the circumstances this last winter, we were working with landowners to secure permission. In some lands, we had permission, and some we didn't when we found out that we couldn't use this method to go out and collect animals. So this has no intent on our part to intrude on private property rights.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Chair, and may I ask if you'll be contracting aircraft, or does ODFW have their own aircraft, and what type?
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, we have no aircraft. We do support a couple of airplanes with Oregon State Police that we have maintained for a long time that help us in some wildlife inventory and surveys, but all the helicopters that we need to contract with. It takes some pretty special type operators with the types of conditions that we fly in, and we go out through competitive bid on that.
Just a last follow-up on this competitive bid, but you would not be using military aircraft that already belongs to the state or police?
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, no, we would not use military aircraft for a couple of different reasons. One, the aircraft that they have are quite large and really are not very suitable for the type of work that we do. We're doing low elevation, fast maneuvering, and quite frankly, it'd be like comparing using a sports car versus a Mack truck going out there and doing the type of work. We need to be very flexible and fast, and the military aircraft would not offer that to us.
Representative, is that it?
Well, I do have one more, but I'm going to let Representative Smith ask hers first.
Very good. Representative Smith or Hunt. All right, who's first?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. Oh, okay. All right. All right.
You guys just knock it off. Quit fighting down there.
We are just of common mind on everything. So.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I realize that you don't have, actually, we don't have in front of us the draft amendments yet. My understanding is that you've seen and reviewed those amendments and that the department is supportive of those amendments.
Chair Krupp, Representative Hunt, that is correct. We've worked closely with the lobbyists for the Sierra Club, and we're very comfortable with the amendments that they would allow us to still do the things that we feel we need to be able to do from a wildlife management standpoint, and I'll let them address in their testimony their comfort level with it.
Okay. Is that it? Representative Nelson?
Thank you. Back to the fiscal mind here. Mr. Englund, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if I saw this in your budget, some monies designated for aircraft use.
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, we don't have any specific money set aside in our budget for flight time. We incorporate that into our general wildlife management budget, mainly on the game program side of it, and it's part of our normal operating costs. Obviously, if you have a disease outbreak, then you have to marshal forces and start looking to draw funds from other places within the agency to fund any kind of a special need. But we're not requesting any additional money. This is not something we would ever plan on having to do. It just gives us the flexibility that if something pops up, we have the ability to do it. And we would our intent would be to be self-contained within our budget if one of these activities needed to occur.
And a last question,
yes.
Please,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair. Not that, and goodness, I pray this never happens, but it's come through my mind, coming from the aviation world. In the event of some terrorist act, does your department have a plan? You'd be responsible for numerous wildlife, and I'm just wondering if you have a plan. I would not at this moment like to see it, but I would certainly be interested in knowing what our plan is. Should we have some germ warfare or some other situation occur?
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, we'd be happy to talk with you about that.
Thank you.
Actually, Representative, and for the posterity of the committee, the state veterinarian has a rapid response team, completely self-contained trailer, where that for livestock anyway, if there is a sudden outbreak that is identified, they within a few very short hours can be on scene and be containing animals and doing testing in this mobile facility. It's a facility they've had for not very long, actually. It is something that is potentially needs to be looked at on in terms of the issues that you just talked about at a higher level, actually, I think so. Thank you. Oh, Representative Worth, you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you give me what is the basic definition, or what is all encompassed in the definition of wildlife management activities?
Chair Krupp, Representative Worth, looking at it from a broad standpoint, it would be that, as I've already mentioned, the disease aspects. There could, within our wildlife management authority, we have the ability to deal with public safety, human risk concerns, and the potential is there that we could, as an example, if we had a collared cougar or a collared bear that had come into town and caused some problems, and we knew that it was a collared animal, we could respond very quickly with an aircraft and get a location on that animal, transmit its location to someone on the ground, which our current authority does not allow us to do. Then we could move in on the ground to remove that animal if we needed to do so. The scientific collection part of it wrapped into our management. We do multiple research projects, and there are times where it is necessary for us to kill some animals in research, and sometimes the most effective means to do that is from the air. To do that for all species is virtually impossible. There's some species that lends itself well to, like deer or elk. Bear and cougar, it just does not lend itself well to. I've spent about 20 years flying off and on within the agency, and I've never seen a cougar from the air. And so our wildlife management, really, it's inventory, it's data collection, dealing with damage complaints. It's pretty broad and pretty encompassing.
Can I follow up, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
And in your opinion, does substituting the words "no person shall" for "a person may not," is that at all change the statute, in your opinion? On what's allowable?
Chair Krupp, Representative Worth, we work closely with our attorney on that, and the feeling, or the main reason for changing it from "no person shall," was that when it says "no person shall," that means everybody. And that's where we got hung up, is we found out that also included us. And our attorney felt that by changing it to "a person may not," and then with the new language down at the bottom of the bill and then the amendments that will come in, that specifically reduced that conflict between hunting from an aircraft versus wildlife management from an aircraft and selective capabilities.
Okay, thank you.
Well, no further questions. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Martin Taylor, come forward, please. Welcome, Martin, for the record.
Yes. Chair Krupp, members of the committee, my name is Martin Taylor. I'm here today on behalf of the Sierra Club of Oregon, and particularly in light of the attention that you placed on the oath before you, I should tell you that I've been with the Sierra Club of Oregon for just about 4 months, and if there are things I don't know, I am not going to violate the oath. I am going to say I don't know.
Thank you, Martin.
Initially thought I would be testifying in a fairly short manner, simply to say that we support the amendments before you, but since those amendments aren't before you, I feel like maybe there's an opportunity to give you a little of the Sierra Club's perspective while those amendments arrive. I must tell you, initially, the reaction to this bill from the Air Sierra Club wasn't particularly positive because you have a community that finds aerial hunting distasteful. These are folks that fall into a couple of categories. They're folks that enjoy hiking in the outdoors or being in natural spaces. We also have members who are hunters. And in those groups, you have a certain amount of concern that aerial hunting is disruptive to the experience or potentially is even competing with other hunters in the woods. I have to say those were some biases or some prejudices that we overcame because there are members of Sierra Club who have been working with ODFW for some time on a real issue, which is the chronic wasting and disease in the elk population. And we've came to support this bill because we believe that ODFW needs to have some power to quickly react to disease in the wildlife species. But there was a little internal conversation that needed to take place first. And actually, one of the reasons that we've brought amendments forward along with ODFW is to give a greater degree of assurance to folks that enjoy the outdoors that if they do see aerial hunting, it really is out of necessity. Those are activities that need to take place for the protection of either human safety or the wildlife species themselves. We expect that this will be a pretty rare practice, both for economic reasons and because it is rarely necessary to use aerial hunting in the collection of scientific data or protection of people or wildlife. But to the extent that it occasionally occurs, people need to know it's happening for good reason. And I think these amendments will help us get there. So I am open to questions, Chair.
All right. Representative Wirth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked the previous testifier. It's in the wording, no person shall, substituting a person may not for no person shall. Do you, in your opinion, does that loosen up the statute at all, particularly for individuals hunting?
I don't really know. I don't have the kind of attorney background. I think what you're going to find in the amendments, though, is that the language in the amendment may read something closer to Fish and Wildlife or its agents may, and then articulate the circumstances in which something may occur. So to some extent, you may be at a disadvantage in not having those amendments before you now.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, since you didn't know that, I'll ask you another question.
Okay.
In your opinion, without the two substitutions in line 4 and 11, for no person shall, a person may not. In your opinion, does the remaining language that has now been added to proposed by House Bill 2209, would that allow ODFW to do what they are attempting to do?
Yes, and in terms of the process of coming up with these amendments, I should say that the final language for these amendments, aside from any wordsmithing that Legislative Council may do, comes directly from ODFW. We're comfortable with that. We actually took the testimony that they presented the first public hearing. We asked our folks, is there anything that they're interested in doing before this committee that you would have a problem with them doing? And the answer was no. In fact, we support ODFW's agenda as it's articulated, and if we could just have a bill that specifically says those are the functions for which aerial hunting will take place, then everyone will be comfortable with this bill. And I think you'll now have the advantage of the amendments in front of you.
Good job.
Mr. Chair, do you engineer all these things with this kind of time?
Well, actually not, but I have to say that, members, this is an instructive lesson as to why it is always good to have excellent relationships with legislative counsel. Because they give you service bar none.
Thank you.
Well, members, it appears we have the -1 amendments to 2209. And why don't we just take a moment and pass those out to everyone else there, including our current witness. Let's just take a moment and read through them. Members, I'm going to have Ray go ahead and read through the amendments for us.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Dash 1 amendments, first off, add an emergency clause to the bill, having it take effect on passage. The meat of the amendment itself, if you take a look at line 19, it will read, notwithstanding subsections 1 to 3 of this section, the State Department of Fish and Wildlife or its agents may hunt game mammals or game birds from or with the aid of an aircraft or transmit from an aircraft to a person not in the aircraft information regarding the location of any game mammal or game bird for the purpose of protecting public safety or wildlife species. The State Fish and Wildlife Commission shall by rule define protecting public safety or wildlife species for the purpose of this subsection. Notwithstanding subsections 1 to 3 of this section, the State Department of Fish and Wildlife or its agents may conduct scientific research by transmitting from an aircraft to a person not in the aircraft information regarding the location of any game mammal or game bird, or hunting game mammals or game birds from or with the aid of an aircraft. And in Section 2, which is added, is the emergency clause, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that I mentioned at the outset.
Thank you, Ray. Martin, is this what you thought you were going to get?
Representative Krupp, Chair Krupp, it is, and I would say that there is comfort within the Sierra Club as an association for this language. There are a few members of our association that had some lingering concerns about how this may affect cougars. We're confident from the testimony from ODFNW and from my interactions with their lobbyists that it is very, very difficult, if not completely impractical, to hunt cougars by air, and that should allay the remaining concerns within my membership.
Okay, let me ask you a question, then I'll take additional questions from members if necessary. We changed the wording wildlife management activities to may conduct scientific research. Do you have a problem with wildlife management activities in terms of allowing the agency to conduct them for public safety and wildlife species purpose?
No, and actually I believe these amendments will still allow them to conduct those same activities for public safety or preservation of wildlife species. I think the wordsmithing that went on at ODFNW was simply trying to create language that was directive towards the activities, including scientific research, and we had some discussions back and forth about what that would mean, scientific research. So I think that particular passage is trying to further clarify what scientific research means in this bill.
Okay. Members, questions? Representative Nelson?
Yes. First of all, Mr. Chair, this amendment needs to go back because we're not going to delete lines 20 through 24. If we do, we've lost... Okay. Well, I guess we are. I take it back, but I'm just trying to. I don't think the purpose of. I guess we should get Mr. England back up here. The purpose of this is not just scientific. I mean, anybody, you know, tracking wildlife has to have some management activities, so this isn't scientific research, and I certainly don't want Fish and Wildlife to, get called on the carpet because they're not doing some scientific venture. And I think in line 15, I mean, we're not just hunting, but they're also tracking. And it makes it seem like the only purpose they're getting in the aircraft for is to hunt down and kill animals, and I think they're tracking them as well as managing, performing management activities. Could be corralling them. We do that, you know, with our helicopters. We've corralled elk and all sorts of wildlife. So I think, it's not just hunting, it's tracking, and it's not just scientific research, it's wildlife management activities, and it needs to make more sense than this. We're also could be protecting the safety of wildlife as well as public safety.
I feel free to respond, Martin, sure. if you so desire.
Representative Krupp, Representative Nelson, members of the committee, I think that, and it may be helpful to have ODF and W up here as well, but I think that...
Ron, would you come forward, please?
I think that the ODF and W already has the authority to do corralling and tracking by aircraft. I think that the only place that they were running into a barrier was the hunting, which is why this only deals with hunting. Am I incorrect on that, Ron?
For the record, Ron.
Chair Krupp, members of the committee, once again, Ron Anglin, Wildlife Division Administrator. That is correct. We do have statutory authority that does allow us to capture animals from the air using dart guns, net guns, things like that. Where the hang-up comes is with the definition of take, which means to kill or take possession of, permanent possession of. So that's where this statute and the amendments would give us the ability to go ahead and do the things that periodically we feel like we would need the opportunity to do. And we have worked with our council on this, and we feel that the words or the amendment as proposed before you does give us the flexibility to do the things that we'd like to do.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Mr. Anglin, I would think that you're not conducting scientific research when you, kill an elk.
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, the instances where we would do something like that would be associated with one of our particular scientific research projects, of which we have a couple going right now, as an example, or it would be for disease control purposes. And just to go out and generally kill them from an aircraft, no, we're not going to do that. That's pretty counterproductive. And we feel that in the first section of the amendment from line 3 through line 9, that it does address the disease aspects of it, and then that in subsection 5 and A and B, it does give us the ability from a scientific standpoint to collect specific animals if we needed to. The transmitting part or the radio relocation part of it, we can do that now. We just couldn't now transmit that location to somebody on the ground and have them go out and try and capture that animal or kill that animal. And those, believe me, those are all cases where we really don't want to go out and do that. It's extremely expensive, and it's not something that we're looking to go do. It's just that there could be specific instances where it's necessary, and we'd like the authority to do that.
Representative Hunt?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wonder if you might help a freshman understand this. In comparing the new language with the old, am I correct that in the bill as drafted, starting off looking at lines 22 to 24, in the amended language, we're really just reversing the order of those and wordsmithing? Is that a fair assessment?
I believe that's a fair assessment, Representative Hunt.
That's correct, Chair Krupp and Representative Hunt.
I might make one follow-up. Then further to help me understand, the change from the bill's lines 19 to 21 to what is in the amendment, basically line 3 to 12 now, I guess, that whole section that would be inserted from the amendment on line 3 to 12, that would really be including everything that's already referenced in the original bill, but really just expanding the definition of it and calling on the commission to issue a new rule definition of what exactly protecting public safety and wildlife species means. Is that a fair assessment of that change?
Chair Krupp, Representative Hunt, that's correct.
Chair Krupp, Representative Hunt, the only thing that I would add is that it's our feeling that by explicitly defining just those places where they, using the word may and creating an explicit list of what they may do, precludes other uses that may be less appropriate, not that we believe that they were going to go off and do less appropriate things. It puts some fence posts around this practice that the old version of the bill did not.
Well, Ron, if you're satisfied, your legal counsel satisfied that the change in language from wildlife activities to conduct scientific research is consistent with your purpose here, then I'm fine with it. I just sort of feel the way Representative Nelson does, and I your mission is broader than scientific research. Your mission as an agency is wildlife management.
Sure.
And I don't want us to constrain you in any way, because we're going to wordsmith this thing, and then down the road you're not able to conduct your wildlife management activities without some problem here. So if your council is comfortable with this, and you are as an agency, that this allows you to, the ability to do what you need to do and meet the goals of this legislation, then I'm probably okay with it personally. But just want to make sure you guys are.
Chair Krupp, we've talked back and forth many times on this with council, and we feel this gets us where we would like to be.
Okay. Before we go, Representative Nelson, you had a quick question for?
I guess I do, Mr. Chair. Mr. England, who put this in there to begin with? It was my understanding that Fish and Wildlife said they needed to conduct wildlife management activities.
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, yes. We drafted the original bill.
Why cannot we say that, Mr. England? Why can't we say, may conduct wildlife management activities, comma, scientific research, or protect humans and wildlife as required or as necessary? Because you're protecting other wildlife, the safety of other wildlife from a diseased piece of wildlife. A mammal.
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, we wouldn't object to that being in there. We've been working back and forth. We didn't want this bill to get hung up with a major opponent to it and not have a chance of going through. We recognize that the potential for this being contentious is high. And so we worked back and forth trying to come up with what we felt was an effective compromise and would get us to where we needed to go. But we were comfortable with the original language. We understood the need or the intent from the Sierra Club to want to define it a little better, and we had no problem with that.
Follow up, Mr.
Yes.
Jeff, for example, having done this with aircraft many times, yeah, you may need to relocate an animal. You may need to move it. Well, that's not in here, and it isn't scientific research. It's for the safety of that animal to be relocated somewhere else. So if you can't in this bill use that for that purpose. You can only kill that animal and or tell somebody where it is. That's all this bill says you can do the way the amendment's written, you know, unless you're going to do some H2CO, whatever. But anyway.
Genetic altering
is
the term.
Okay, thank you. So that's the reason that I'm asking, you know, as my agency protecting my wildlife, I want to know that if you need to, you know, relocate these, whatever they are, from eastern Oregon to western Oregon because they're not surviving and it's an emergency, I want you to be able to do that. And to me, that's wildlife management activities. I mean, you could be taking somebody in and dropping them off to stay with that wildlife for a period of time because all sorts of strange things are happening. Just being out in the woods a lot, I realize these things happen, and also being in the aircraft business. That's the reason I was trying to give you, you know, the authority to use that aircraft to manage the wildlife, to protect the wildlife, you know, do your scientific research, and also protect the public as would be required.
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, I appreciate your concern and wanting to make sure that we have the ability to do that. We feel like we do have the ability to do exactly what you're saying right now. And in fact, this last winter we have been involved in the practice of live capturing bighorn sheep and transplanting them to new areas. This bill specifically refers to the ability to kill an animal from an aircraft. The ability to live capture animals and move them using an aircraft is already covered by statute and by commission rules.
Thank you. Let me ask a couple of questions. Currently, Ron, in statute, do you have a definition of what wildlife management activities are for protecting human safety? Is there, either by rule or statute, is there a current definition of those terms?
Chair Krupp, there is a broad general statute called the Wildlife Policy that kind of sets our direction. It doesn't get into specifics within that. And then we have other bits and pieces scattered through some different portions of our statutory law that give us specific direction for certain circumstances. Public safety, human safety are a couple of those. The damage statutes are all wrapped into that. And then the commission has adopted rules to implement those specific statutes.
Okay. So then the next question I would say is there, let me back up a moment. Having worked legislation through this process in prior years, and then going to the process of rulemaking, unless you very narrowly define what the legislation will allow by rule, once you go into rulemaking, you open up all Pandora's box of people who can come in and start demanding that the rules say this and that, and you ultimately end up with, in some cases, at least in one of my very early pieces of legislation that the governor signed into law in 1999, where in effect, the agency made the rule such that you could not implement, at least the early writings of the rule, you could not implement the legislation. Now here's my concern. We're going to add in this amendment the words, the State Fish and Wildlife Commission shall by rule define protecting public safety and wildlife species for the purposes of this subsection. Is it possible, then, that we could enter into a rulemaking process whereby not necessarily Sierra Club, but some other organization would come in and say, we think defining protecting public safety for wildlife species ought to mean this. And you guys say, well, we don't think so. It ought to mean this, to stay with the intent of legislation. And we get in this quagmire that ultimately then you have to compromise once again to the place where we're not effective with this legislation.
Chair Krupp,
is that a possibility?
Chair Krupp, that is certainly a possibility, yes.
Representative Wirth and then Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chair, I have the same questions that you did, and I actually there is a statute that defines manage, or as 496.004, subsection 11. Manage is defined as protect, preserve, propagate, promote, utilize, and control wildlife. So that's why I was asking the original questions about the wildlife management activities. I think that that is, in my mind, that's too broad of a definition for what you're trying to get at with the proposed House bill. And I'm very comfortable with the amended version, and I'm not so comfortable with the non-amended version for that reason.
Ray, would you like to share with us your thoughts in terms of that issue?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Oregon Revised Statutes 215.800 established the policy, legislative policy for wildlife habitat conservation planning. And the definitions are in 215, 801, and so on. It goes on to require wildlife habitat conservation and management plans, and specifies the rules for wildlife habitat conservation and management plans and what the plan content must be. The State Department of Fish and Wildlife goes ahead and drafts those. The State Fish and Wildlife Commission is responsible for adopting the rules that specify the contents. Specific the rules adopted require the commission to specify the conservation and management practices that are appropriate to preserve and enhance and improve wildlife common to the diverse regions of the state, specify the wildlife habitat conservation and management plans may include those efforts that improve water quality, protect and restore fish and wildlife habitats, recover threatened and endangered species, enhance stream flows, and maintain or restore long-term ecological health, diversity, and productivity on a broad geographic scale. They also must include accepted farm and forest practices, which must be allowed as an integral part of the wildlife habitat conservation and management practices specified in the approved plan. The lease or sale of in-stream water rights shall be allowed as a part of that same plan, and the rules shall be reviewed annually by the commission and revised when considered necessary and appropriate by the commission, Mr. Chair. And it goes on a bit further to specify what must be in wildlife habitat conservation management plans.
Okay, but it doesn't specifically have a definition for wildlife management activities, per se.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I have not yet found a definition in statute for wildlife management activities.
It does, however, go back to Mr. Anglin's response to me in regards to that question, that there is a number of statutes and rules that have been adopted that define what that is. Ray, something further?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Under the general provisions of the Administration Enforcement of Wildlife Laws, manage is defined. I have not had time, but could cross-reference the terms management, wildlife management, conservation, and the plans and see how they fit together. We have two different parts of statute that are referencing what we are referencing. One part of the statute is 215-800 and beyond, if you will, which has to do with zonings and management plan, more of a land use area. The other part is specific to the administration enforcement of the wildlife laws, and these two statutes work together. In the case of managing the wildlife rules of the state.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
I hope I'm still next.
You are.
Good.
You're the only one on the list right there.
Oh, good. Let me just, I want to give you one example, and then I'm going to tell you why this amendment cannot go forth. Number one is, let's say you contacted my previous company to go out and check out some wildlife because you'd heard that their habitat had been destroyed. And the only way you're going to get the top of that hill and have a place to a way to get you there is by my aircraft. So you could, to manage that wildlife activity, you could be restoring a habitat. But what this bill, now this is what I understood on this bill. The purpose of this bill was to give you the right to use aircraft to manage all wildlife activities as may be required of the fish and wildlife, right? Wrong. Okay. Well, that's what I thought. That's what the information that I came to this committee meeting on says. The purpose of this bill is to allow the State Department of Fish and Wildlife to utilize aircraft, which is close to my heart, in conducting wildlife management activities. It should say, and or protecting human and wildlife safety. That's what it should say. And
Chair,
that's what I thought it was. But I want to tell you, if you look at the amendment, Mr. Chair, look at the first bill, number 7, line 7. I mean, there's no way you can have this. It says, from 5, a person may not transmit from an aircraft to somebody not in the aircraft information regarding the location of any game animal or game bird. I can do that anytime I want to. Now, I can transmit. It's a free world. It's free speech. I can tell anybody, you know, go look at those beautiful pheasants over there. Go see those, you know, 8-rack deer. So we cannot, I don't think, number 7, prohibit somebody from talking from an aircraft. Number 11, line 11, it says, A person may not hunt any game animal within 8 hours after what? Being transported. After the animal was transported by the aircraft or after the person got out of an aircraft? A person may not hunt any game mammal within 8 hours of what? Of the animal being transported by aircraft or of the person getting out of the aircraft?
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, as far as your first question on number five, the transmitting from an aircraft to somebody on the ground is legal and acceptable as long as it does not involve hunting. And when this bill was first crafted, it was because of a raft of circumstances we had had primarily in eastern Oregon of people using aircraft to locate primarily bull elk from the air, transmitting their location to somebody on the ground who would then move in specifically to harvest that animal. And from a fair chase standpoint, we and the hunting community did not feel that that was appropriate, and that's why this original rule was crafted, or the original statute was crafted. And that is why the specific language that if you go up in the air and you spot something from the air, and once you land, you personally cannot go back and hunt that animal unless 8 hours have expired. And the reason for that is, as an example, if I went up, located a bighorn sheep ram, excuse me, from an aircraft and then landed a short distance away, went down to harvest that animal, that's an unfair advantage and is not considered part of the fair chase aspect of hunting, and we did not want to have that allowed. So, you know, I think that, again, we can fly to the top of a hill, drop people off to do wildlife management activities. We have the ability to do that. We could not fly them up there, have them shoot something as part of our activities. And that's the only thing that this tries to address. We have in related statutes some of our general wildlife management authority, and as defined by commission rule, we have the ability to utilize aircraft for wildlife management purposes. We do not have the ability to use aircraft for specifically to kill or to transmit to somebody on the ground the ability to kill an animal for wildlife management purposes. And that is what this amendment is trying to get to.
Okay, so, Mr. Chair, then line 11 should read, a person may not hunt any game animal until 8 hours have elapsed after the person was exited the aircraft, apparently. It doesn't say that.
Representative Nelson, if you'd like to propose that change as an amendment to this bill, that'd be fine with the chair as long as you want to work with the agency on that. I don't want to spend too much more time on that particular issue, because if you feel strongly about it, then you should talk to them about amending it.
Well, Mr. Chair, what I feel strongly about is line 7. Line 11 is just clarification, because I'm just trying to clarify. It's not the game animal that's been transported. It's the individual.
I understand, but I think...
But number 7, I don't know how do you restrict somebody from transmitting from an aircraft to ground? I mean, we're required to.
Well, I think that, at least as far as I'm concerned, Ron answered the question effectively for me. If we can restrict that, I think it would be a matter of whether that would be a constitutional authority granted by the Constitution of the agency through statute. It would be my assumption that that is and has been tested. We could ask Legislative Council for clarification on that.
Okay.
I understand, Representative. Feel free to...
I'm just trying to help, Mr. Chair.
And I appreciate that. That's what this process is all about. It's a good debate. Thank you, gentlemen, both. I'd like to hear from Al Elkins now for the moment.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Hunters Association. I have... a little heartburn, Mr. Chair, and I agree with you and Representative Nelson on the wording of wildlife management activities, I think our comfort level would be increased greatly if that were back in the bill. That's the original language from the bill. So I'd like to work with whomever is going to be working on this to see if I could get that back in.
Why do you want...
Well, we've spent... In the last 4 or 5 years, we've been involved with ODF&W, and everything we've ever done or talked about in relation to wildlife has centered around wildlife management activities. Very seldom do we ever talk about conducting scientific research in relation to that. And I think it's more or less a comfort thing. And I don't really know the difference between the two terms, and if there is, but I would sure like to make sure that we're not limiting ourselves by saying conduct scientific research as opposed to saying wildlife management activities. I think it's just a comfort thing more than anything else. But I would like to. This is the first I saw these amendments in the back of the room, and now, and I'm just having a problem with those that word change.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that the words conducting scientific research might prohibit the agency from conducting wildlife management activities?
Mr. Chair, in my opinion, I'm concerned that if you say conduct scientific research, and if Mr. Anglin wants to do A or B, I think it would be easier to file an injunction to stop A and B if you don't, and a good argument could be posed that A and B are not scientific research, whereas they more fit the term wildlife management activity. And that's just from the years of listening to commission meetings and not years listening to Mr. Anglin. I haven't known him that long, but getting to know how the system works in relation to that. That's where I'm coming from, and that's probably a little bit of paranoia too in relation to who I represent in trying to make sure that we can do A and B when we need to, because we can't do that now. So that's where I'm coming from.
Okay. Representative Hunt.
Mr. Chair, Al, within, and I have, you all have far better sense of what wildlife management activities, the definition that actually is. As I'm reading it, though, it would include, I mean, there would be provision here not only under line 11 of the amendment to conduct scientific research, but also under line 7 of the amendment to protect public safety and wildlife species. Is there something, I mean, looking at all three of those, which would be in here under this amendment, is there something beyond those that you think is covered by wildlife management activities that isn't under protecting public safety, wildlife species, conducting scientific research?
Mr. Chair.
The Chair is going to call Brendan McCarthy from Legislative Council to come forward also at this time. In the interest of, could you answer that quickly, and then we have to get him back.
And my answer, Representative Hunt, is I'm having a hard time making scientific research fit A and B, and I find wildlife management activities fits A and B more so as the umbrella. I think that's where I'm coming from.
Well, you know, in America, we argue about the meaning of the word is.
I know.
Legitimately. So, you know, one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. So I think it boils down to how we look at these things. Unfortunately, these things go to court quite often, sadly. And so, Brendan, that's sort of why we've asked you to come here. There is a concern that adding on the amendment on line number 11, adding the words or substituting the words may conduct scientific research as opposed to on the printed bill on line 29 where it said conduct wildlife management activities. There's a concern that substituting the language of scientific research may not allow the agency to actually pursue A and B of both the amendment in terms of transmitting and hunting. How do you look at that in terms of definitional?
Chair Krupp, members of the committee, Brendan McCarthy with Legislative Council for the record. Chair Krupp, I'm not exactly certain I have a good answer for you on that. I think I'm not going to say reasonable minds that disagree, but I think that A and B certainly seem as though they could fall under some term of scientific research. It doesn't appear as though either of those two things would, unless conducted for obviously other reasons other than scientific research, but it certainly seems like a legitimate restriction on what those activities could be conducted for. Is that...
Well, that's one man's opinion.
I'm being dropped in, of course.
I understand, and we're sorry to put you in that position. Okay.
Mr. Chair, can I ask?
Representative Werthen and Representative Nelson, I think, has got a couple of clarifications for you.
So as I read the amendment, specifically I read it as saying ODFMW or its agents may hunt game mammals or game birds for or with the aid of an aircraft for the purposes of protecting public safety or wildlife species, in addition to also allowing ODFMW now to conduct scientific research with the aid of an aircraft or hunting game mammals or game birds with the aid of an aircraft. So am I correct in reading the amendment to say that ODFMW will now have the authority or its agents to hunt game mammals or game birds from or with the aid of an aircraft for the purposes of protecting public safety or wildlife species, if that does not in fact constitute scientific research, or if they're not doing it for scientific research?
Chair Krupp, Representative Werth, I would hate to be on the opposite side of Fish and Wildlife for the second time today. But we still are retaining line 19 of the original bill. And so we're notwithstanding subsections 1 to 3 of this section, Fish and Wildlife or its agents. So it's important to remember that read-in. I believe what this provides to the department is two separate exemptions, one for protecting public safety or wildlife species, and two for conducting scientific research.
That's what my understanding is. Thank you.
Representative Nelson.
If I can just add on.
Please.
Keeping in mind that this statute section is a general prohibition on those activities, so that's why we're bringing these exemptions within that.
Representative Nelson?
Yes, thank you. Brian, right?
Brendan.
Brendan. Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Brendan, there are many more things than hunting that would be done by an aircraft. It could be transporting wildlife. I don't see that allows for it. It's not a scientific adventure endeavor. You could be taking up, you could be multitasked. I come from the aviation industry. I mean, having operated helicopters in every way on Earth and fixed wing that can be, I mean, you're going to be doing many things, multitasking. You're going to be taking certain food to animals that can't be reached, fixing habitat. At the same time, you're going to be, you know, taking one out that has to be, you know, extinguished.
Representative, haven't we already established that in the statute that's already allowable by ODFMW?
No, we have not, by aircraft. See, that's the whole issue, Mr. Chair, is that what is allowed on the ground. For example, now you need to add to this section that they can also use artificial lights. You can use a FLIR system if you want to look for the heartbeat, you know, of this wild animal that's rabid or dangerous that has a disease. But under 498.142, you cannot use that light. So I'm just saying the previous rights that we thought we had with ODF&W are excluded from being operated in aircraft. And also, if you look at line 7, I mean, we cannot restrict the right to free speech. Number 11, you need to change the wording that says it's the person who was exiting or deplaning, not the animal, the mammal that's been transported in the aircraft, which could be. You know, we could haul let me give you an example. We did this. We relocated animals, so we would relocate a donkey, I mean, not wild, from one site to another. So when we let that donkey go, then, you know, what you're trying to say is a hunter could then not kill it immediately because they put it in a location. But here, I mean, this means a person who now knows where that wildlife is cannot go kill it. So you can transport this wildlife as well as, you know, human life. You can protect wildlife, protect human life. All I'm saying is this: if this bill does what it says it's supposed to, related to aerial hunting, this is not just hunting by hunters. This is management of wildlife, and it's using an aircraft. I mean, we're mixed up. We have three different things in the same bill. We should be talking about an act of telling just what Fish and Wildlife can do in a helicopter or an airplane, not what everybody else can do. Thank you, and I won't say any more. that's the purpose of
Please
this
respond,
bill.
Please respond, Brendan.
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, if I understand your concerns, Representative, correctly, I'm just going to repeat what I said before, which is that 498.126 is a general prohibition on the hunting of game mammals and the transmitting of information from aircraft. As I understood the genesis of this bill from why the department asked for this bill originally, it was to ensure that the department had a management tool available to it, which was that it could hunt or its agents could hunt from an aircraft. And I believe that at the moment we've addressed those concerns by allowing them to do that for the purpose of protecting public safety or for scientific research.
Mr. Chair.
Al.
Somebody asked me a question.
Were you asking her a question?
No, I'm not asking a question.
Please add whatever you'd like to, and then we'll allow representatives.
In my mind, on line 11 of the amendment, and hunting game animals or game birds from or with the aid of an aircraft is not scientific research. It is wildlife management activity. That's what I've been trying to say, and I haven't done a very good job. That's what I'm having a problem with. It's easier to say stop doing B because it's not conduct scientific research than it would be if it was wildlife management activity. And I apologize for taking so long to get that bulb to go off, but that's what I've been trying to say.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Okay. As chair, I'm uncomfortable with this amendment as is written because I think that's a very important distinction. I'm going to ask you guys to go sit down together, all of you, and talk about this, trying to find some accommodation here for everyone that we can make sure that we're not going to create a quagmire for ourselves. And we will bring this bill back with a further amendment and clarification that would give you Representative Nelson an opportunity to further define some terms that you're certainly concerned about there and actually may have a good point on, in my opinion. So with that, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2209, and thank you all very much for your patience. Thank you, Brendan, for coming down. We do appreciate it. The chair would like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2241. Ray, what is 2241 all about?
Yes, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2241, which was initially brought before the Committee for Public Hearing on January 28th, removes the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board from the Department of Human Resources. Mr. Chair.
All right, Ray, we've heard this bill before, haven't we?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I do believe that a state agency person is signed up, and there wasn't one the first time you heard it, Mr. Chair.
Wonderful. Lori, come forward if you would, please. Welcome. And for the record, state your name.
Good afternoon, Chair Krupp and members. My name is Lori Makinen, and I'm the director of the Veterinary Medical Examining Board. And we introduced this bill, or proposed this as a concept, primarily as a housekeeping issue. The board has been autonomous from the Department of what I think what used to be Human Services and then Health Division, and is now back to Human Services since 1975, when the Senate bill, it's either 390 or 320, gave all the health-related licensing boards autonomy. We do our own budgets. We do our own personnel. We have the part of the problem with the language is that we do have a contract with the Health Division to provide us certain fiscal and accounting services, and there have been there's been a lot of friction about who has authority to expend the budget, whether it's a clerk in the Health Division or me. And so this was. Since the statute was being opened, we decided to take this opportunity to clarify the situation and get that language out of there.
Okay. So the real benefit of this for your group is that you're going to take away some of the conflicts and confusion and clearly further define who has authority to do what.
Mr. Chair and members, that's correct.
Okay. Members? Representative Hunt.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I noticed on the preliminary staff measure summary, it says that this may have a fiscal impact. Do you have a sense that this should have any impact?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hunt, that was a mistake that I made. I filed a fiscal impact on this when it should have been on Senate Bill 256. Mm. Okay. There's no fiscal impact on this other than the possibly a positive impact in that I won't have to be wasting my time arguing with people over paying my board members on travel reimbursements.
Actually, Ray?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Legislative Fiscal did issue a minimal expenditure impact statement on January 28, 2003 on the introduced version of House Bill 2241. A minimal expenditure impact statement does not come with any detailed expenditure, nor does it require a referral to Ways and Means, Mr. Chair.
It just means it's under $50,000, right?
There you go, Mr. Chair.
Just kidding.
That's a quarter of my budget.
All right. Members, any additional questions?
Oh, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Nelson.
Laurie, I'm just wondering, how are we going to pay for this? Where's this money going to come from?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, there is no money involved.
Well, I mean, there is money in this board, that standalone board now, right?
Right. The money stays in the Treasury. We're not moving the money. But
it would not be your money, right?
No, it's not.
So how do you pay for pay these board members?
Oh, we are other funded. Licensing fees.
You fund yourself?
Yes. We're not general fund.
From veterinarian licensing?
Licensing. We do miscellaneous when, we charge for, if you wanted a copy of something we had, I might charge you.
You're self-sufficient?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
That is too wonderful.
And this is a budget environment, Representative. You're quite correct.
I like this. Can I just ask a last question? And I'm sure, when you talk about surgeons and dentists, I want to be sure you're talking about veterinarian surgeons and veterinarian dentists and veterinarian ophthalmologists, not just general surgeons and general dentists.
Right. Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, our statute specifically defines the practice of veterinary medicine and dentistry and surgery as being the practice is limited to individuals who are licensed under the under our statute.
But they're veterinarians.
Yes, ma'am.
Surgeons. It does not say that. It just I could give you my best surgeon in my community, and he could be on this board, or my favorite dentist. It doesn't say that they have to be veterinarian, dentists, or surgeons. I just thought I'd tell you that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, if I understand your question, are you asking what comprises the board membership?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. We have 5 veterinarians and 2 public members, and we, I believe, are going to be given an 8th member, which will be a veterinary technician. So does that answer your question?
Mr. Chair, I think I should have stayed home today. It says, yeah, 5 members shall be licensed to practice veterinary medicine. And then it says surgery. And then it says dentistry. And I just was curious if those were animal dentists, animal surgeons, which I didn't know. Didn't even know they had a veterinary ophthalmologist until I had to take one of my Shih Tzus to have her eyes surgery. I'm just wondering if those are veterinarian surgeons, veterinarian, or veterinarily, whatever you'd say, dentists, or are they general? I'm just curious.
Well, Representative, thank you for your curiosity. And, Lori, thank you very much. We're going to close a public hearing on House Bill 2241 and open up a work session on House Bill 2241. The chair would entertain a motion to move this bill to the floor with a due pass.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to move House Bill 2241 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, members, House Bill 2241 has been made motion by Representative Smith to be moved to the floor for full consideration of the House with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Can we put this on a consent calendar, Mr. Chair?
We can.
You want me to carry it?
Oh, dear.
We'll have to amend that in the motion, won't we, Ray?
Yes, Mr. Chair, you will.
Representative Smith, would you like to amend your motion to place this on the consent calendar?
I would be happy to. I would move House Bill 2241 to the floor on the consent calendar with a due pass.
All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none, any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We're going to close the work session, House Bill 2241. Members, thank you for your patience today. We are hereby unconvened.
I got to get out of here.
Kill the sound.
Ha 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 ha.